Well, when you mention to someone the absurdity of the pandemic, they often come back with, yeah, I guess we just didn't know any better. When someone says that to me, I go crazy bananas because that person's giving world leaders and the media a pass for things that they should have known and making truly nonsense rules, the governments and the media did, based on things that they did not study. They chose not to study. Here's just one lame example of no benches on a beach because COVID. There was never any science behind that. So this is a segment for you to either send to your friends, or if you're the kind of person that says, well, we just didn't know any better because we knew better, and I'm going to prove it to you. Now, not me personally. I'm not a medical professional. I didn't know the fatality rate of COVID or research about masks, infection-acquired immunity. I'm not a medical professional, but the medical community knew. And I'm going to show you. I brought the receipts today because I'm pissed when people say that to me and we have news about something that they lied to us about and knew better. We were prevented from asking questions. We were shut down on social media. We called people who asked these questions crazy. We know because we were forced to study for ourselves the last 4 years what the medical community has long since known. But they kept it from us. So here are the things that we supposedly didn't know about that medical professionals did know about. Infection-acquired immunity, COVID mortality rates, masking, lockdowns, COVID vaccine adverse events. They knew all of this stuff and they told us lies about it. So let's start with the first one because it's topical. Today, Representative Thomas Massie shared this clip of himself asking the CDC why they published data showing that the COVID vaccine was 92% effective for people who already had COVID. Now, you recall at the time, people who already had COVID were wondering, do I even need a vaccination? He saw a report from the CDC showing that people who were vaccinated or who were previously infected did, in fact, have a 92% less chance of getting COVID if they took the vaccine later. And he says, there's no data to show that. Anybody who'd been reading up on the time knew that none of the clinical trials had anything to do with previous COVID infections. So he called them and said, well, why are you saying this? Now, this is a long clip. It's about 5 minutes, but I want to watch it together because it is crystal clear that they made stuff up and they continued lying about it. And then we're going to continue in this vein. So watch.
These MMWR, they said that the vaccine was 92% efficacious for those who had already had COVID. I was struck by this claim because, well, first of all, I was interested because I'd already had COVID and I was wondering whether to take the vaccine or not. And I had studied the Pfizer data, the top line data and the FDA characterization of it. And you know what? The problem with the CDC's claim is completely inaccurate. The trials didn't prove that at all. The trials weren't designed to prove that. So I called up the CDC and I recorded the phone call. And they said, we'll get the top scientist on the line with you and we'll find out what the deal is here. And they got their top scientist on the line. And she said, wow, you found a mistake in our paper. I can't believe this was in there. We will fix this. We're going to call you Eagle Eye Massie over here at the CDC. And said, okay, that's great. I appreciate you fixing this because there's no data to support this.
Wait, can you pause for a second? Can we pause this here?
In January of 2021.
I'm sorry. So what he's saying is that the CDC put data into a paper and then they're like, oh, yeah, I don't know where that came from. This idea that people who had COVID, that the vaccine was 92% efficacious for them. And they're like, oh, that's funny. What? How does that happen? How do you accidentally have data that never existed? Okay, let's let him. I just can't let that go. Go ahead.
And I call up and I look at their website. Lo and behold, nothing has been fixed. And I then started contacting people at the CDC, and they were very averse to fixing it, the misstatement. And this began a saga. You know, just 3 minutes or 3 hours into the Biden administration was one of these phone calls when the cover-up started to begin. They were conflicted. They wanted everybody to take the vaccine. They didn't have data that showed it would help anybody who had already had the COVID infection, but they didn't want to change this. So I made lots of calls, recorded them all. They admitted to me that they were wrong and said they would fix it. They eventually changed it, but they never did fix it. Okay, so then a FOIA request went to CDC and they produced over 1,000 pages, most of it redacted like this. The FOIA request was every conversation about Congressman Massey, and it produced at CDC, it produced over 1,000 pages. Imagine that. But they were mostly redacted. They didn't want to say what they were saying about the truth that I was giving to them. So then I've been trying for years, and I tried in October, and I tried in December of 2023 to get these unredacted emails. Well, right before this hearing, lo and behold, you all produced some unredacted emails. Here's the problem. You left out dozens of them. Dozens of these emails that were responsive to the request. And it was not by accident. These aren't minor oversights. Like, here are the kind of redactions. The whole entire email is redacted. The subject is the call from Rep. Thomas Massey. These are the kind of redactions. Look at this. Entire pages redacted. My question is, when are you going to produce these? And why are you not producing these? Why are you pretending that these emails don't exist? Some of them are in my inbox. Some of them are to me, but they're not in your production. Why?
Congressman, I want to thank you for acknowledging the production that my team did last week to you. And if there are specific documents that are not included and you can identify them, I am happy to continue to work with you and with the committee staff for productions. That production, as with all of the requests before this committee, have not stopped. We are happy to continue to work. We are happy to continue producing documents on a rolling basis, or if there are specific requests or specific documents.
Did you think this one was responsive? The subject is call with Rep. Massey. It's Ann Tatum, Christina Serna, and a month ago, Dr. Amanda Cohen and I had a call with Rep. Thomas Massey of Kentucky regarding concern about language in the MMWR from December 13th that was inaccurate. Redacted, redacted, redacted. He called again yesterday and is raising concerns about the issue, including on Twitter. Redacted, 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 redacted. I wanted to let you know in case you hear any more about it. Redacted, redacted, redacted. But wanted you to be aware of this issue is continuing. Dr. Shushat spoke with Rep. Massey today. Redacted, redacted, redacted. Let me know if you have any additional questions. Anstons. Why did you think this is not responsive to my request?
Congressman, I'm not saying this was or were not responsive. We did a production last week. We did not say that our productions were finished. I'm happy if there are specific other documents, if there are specific things that you have that you would like us to produce, if you would like us to continue work, we are happy to continue the accommodation.
I've told you specifically what it is. We're 4 years into this. You know, we gave you the list of things to give us. We said the things that were responsive to the FOIA request. You conspicuously left out the most relevant emails. We're out of time. You are out of time. We are tired of this. It's not incompetence, it's insolence. And I yield back.
Alberto, okay. Alberto in our chat says that should be the new redacted intro.
Yeah.
Redacted, redacted, redacted.
Right.
I know, I was thinking that too as I was watching that. I was like,
of course, I'm here for the branding.
Yeah, exactly.
How absolutely frustrating it is that like, he's like, I've given you this request. We want these documents. Like, here are these documents. Like, well, I can't read them. They're redacted. And they're like, oh, well, then here's some that aren't redacted. Like, but where are the other documents? Well, if you have specific requests, it's like, well, I already gave you the damn request.
Gave you them.
Give me everything that's redacted to unredact it and send it back to me. That's what, you know, like, how clear is that?
Well, yeah. Also that it's from his inbox. Like, it's from his own email that they're redacting.
There's some, right, because they must have forwarded some of his emails as well. So clearly he's saying, this data never existed and you put it into a public study. You need to retract this. And when they hadn't, why have you not done this yet? Why are you still not telling the American people that you did not test the COVID vaccine against previous infection? Why? They knew better. That's why. That's the whole purpose of this segment, is I'm proving to you they knew better. They knew And the data has borne out, real world data has borne out since, that previous infection to COVID is superior to any pharmaceutical made vaccination. And here is a congressional hearing last year where Iowa Representative Marionette Miller Meeks, a doctor, is talking on a panel to another doctor, Dr. Martin Koldorf, about infection acquired immunity.
Fanatics who wants to vaccinate every person in this country, even though they are children who has very little risk for it, even though they have already had the COVID, that has undermined the trust in other vaccines enormously, creating enormous vaccine hesitancy.
So not allowing their provider or physician to determine the risk and the benefit.
Yeah, and also people themselves, because people know that about immunity. We learned that in school. People know that if you've had a disease, you had...
It wasn't until I came to Congress that I found out infection-acquired immunity was a novel concept.
Yeah, I guess we knew about it since 430 BC, of the Athenian plague until 2020, and then we didn't know about it for 3 years, and now we know about it again, so.
Okay, that was convenient. They knew better. That one's a mic drop. Okay, we were told here on YouTube we couldn't even say the words natural immunity because other channels were getting strikes for that. On Twitter, people were downranked for talking about natural immunity, meaning in previous infection. Okay, so that one, they knew better. You can't say that anymore. Don't say that. Let's go forward and discuss COVID mortality rates. Well, we knew right away that COVID was not dangerous for children and young people and was the most dangerous for the elderly. Here is real data from the CDC today showing that... Again, people who are older have a higher risk of death, not with COVID, but involving COVID now. They don't even attribute these deaths to COVID anymore because they cannot prove it, because they told us that people were dying of COVID when really they had comorbidities and pre-existing conditions and complications. And in fact, later they would report deaths involving COVID as COVID. And the CDC later admitted that they overcounted COVID deaths. They did know better from real world data leading up to pandemic lockdowns and decisions. And they only admitted this after the Guardian investigation pointed it out. They were never going to admit it until they were caught. So at least some experts knew that COVID was less fatal, as the government and the media put it, and certainly less fatal and less dangerous for younger people and healthy people. But we were not allowed to discuss that or share that on social media. People knew better. Okay, now, which brings me to masking. We knew that masking for long periods of time was dangerous, and we knew that it did not necessarily filter out the COVID virus. This is the best study I've seen on the toxicity of masks, and if you read it and go to the references section, it shows that scientists have known for decades that there is a danger of CO2 inhalation from prolonged mask exposure. Read this. Find this paper. Screenshot it if you have to. In fact, scientists have known that prolonged CO2 inhalation from mask exposure and other prolonged CO2 exposure in other ways can lead to at least these things: testicular dysfunction, stillbirths, reduced motor and verbal skills for children, and overall cognitive decline for children, especially those born during the pandemic. We knew this. At least some of these studies are dated the 1970s. So somebody knew that the mask requirement could be dangerous for people. So why weren't we allowed to say it? And in fact, on YouTube through 2021, there was a ban against what they called misinformation, including claims that masks do not play a role in preventing the contraction and transmission of COVID-19. In fact, Senator Rand Paul had a video removed and a suspension from his channel because he posted a video saying that masks did not necessarily prevent the spread. Many channels were taken down or had penalties because of it. Why didn't we hear from experts who'd been studying this for decades? During the pandemic, this data existed. Why did they keep it from us? We also knew that COVID particulates could penetrate masks, and when they did, masking could increase the danger of COVID due to something called the Fogin effect. This is a study from 2022 showing that mask wearing can make COVID exposure worse, given that when the virus gets in there, you can't exhale it. It goes deeper into your lungs while you're wearing a mask. And so you may get a bigger viral load And that increased mortality rates in counties that had mask mandates. But yet mask mandates were kept in place. We never debated the Fogan effect. Why? Okay. We also worried that masks could be toxic, but we required young children to wear them anyway. All day outside in the heat. Here's a study from 2023 published by the NIH. And again, the reference section shows that experts knew that exposure to the toxins that exist in these masks were worse, and in fact, worse, dangerous, and worse in hot weather. Some of these studies were done as early as the 1990s, and yet we were not allowed to debate masks. We were told, send your kids in these masks with these toxins.
Do you remember those awful videos out of Italy too, when they were having that heat wave and the schools, you know, in Europe, they don't really have air conditioning. They don't believe in air conditioning. And in Italy, it was, I think in Naples, they had all these kids in these like heat wave classrooms, yeah, and they were wearing masks. And
no, heat, I think about my kids like in a gym running in masks in heat, and I'm so pissed off still about it.
And North Carolina go ahead, Philip.
Oh, it's like, I was going to say, like, you know, I remember like when they were pushing the mask mandates, you'd see all these pictures from like the Spanish flu epidemic of, what was it, like the 20s, wasn't it, around there or something like
that? Yeah.
Where you'd see all these pictures of people wearing their cloth masks and stuff like that. It's like, that's what we reverted to. We immediately just went back to, let's go back to the 1920s and do what they did then, because that seemed to work.
Yeah.
And North Carolina right now has a bill before Congress in North Carolina that would make it illegal for people to wear face coverings in public for health reasons. No more masks in North Carolina. The Senate's already passed the bill. And it would make it illegal to wear face coverings for health reasons of any kind.
Illegal to mandate a mask or to wear a mask? Like, you could still choose illegal to if you wanted to, right?
It would make it illegal to wear a face covering for health reasons of any kind. The provision was intended to repeal the exemption that people had for health reasons. Okay. But anyway, yeah, no masking in North Carolina.
Nevertheless, and a friend of mine who's a nurse, she said they taught us in medical school, in nursing school, that a mask is only effective for 20 minutes. And then you either have to change it or do something. But, you know, we kept kids in them all day. Okay, let's move on to lockdowns, because we could talk a blue streak about masking. Did we know that lockdowns could be dangerous for populations? Well, we knew a lot of things that we were not allowed to discuss. For instance, we knew that this would lead to an increase in domestic violence. We knew that weakening an economy would lead to depression and increase alcoholism. We've seen all of these things. Did we know what it would do to children, to take them out of school? We did. Here is one such study published. These studies are old. This one's from 2013, talking about what happens when someone loses up to 1 year of education, is that their life expectancy drops. Look at this chart. For every year less of education that a child gets, their life expectancy increases from preventable causes, meaning the more a child stays in school, the more likely they are to live a healthy life and not die from preventable causes. We knew that. Every year of missed education lowers life mortality. Now think about that. Some of these charts are from as far back as 2004. But I mean, Jennifer Say, the head of Levi, she lost her job from saying this is bad for our kids to be out of school. And we were told that lockdowns and school closures were necessary. We cost children their life expectancy from a virus that did not harm them. The data was there. And finally, about the COVID vaccine, well, again, we've been over this ad nauseum. You can read the early trials yourself, and you will know that the vaccine was not tested for the spread of COVID-19, even though the government and the media said that it would prevent the spread. The clinical trials were never meant to test that. Early trials only showed adverse events like the early trials only tested for symptoms, basically. Like, did you cough or sneeze within the time of vaccination? And so we've been over this data. They did show adverse events like myocarditis and stroke, and not in small numbers that were insignificant. You can read the clinical trials yourself and also read what's called the marketing material. This is an adverse events report from as early as February of 2021, 2 months into the vaccine rollout, that showed adverse events. We went over it. In fact, going over this document, got us a channel strike on YouTube because this was, see who published this? This was not conjecture. We went over Pfizer's own documents and got punished here on YouTube.
Yeah, they banned us for 2 weeks.
Right, so I'm not going to go over it again. I'm going to show it to you. You can seek it out. Yeah. But, you know, this was not a they didn't know better situation. So read it for yourself. You will never say something as dumb as they didn't know better. But, you know, if you wanted to know for yourself, if you wanted to ask questions, you were called a crazy conspiracy theory. Here's what Russell Brand had to say about this recently on X, saying AstraZeneca withdrawn from admitting blood after admitting blood clots. Pfizer settling cancer cases out of court. Former CNN anchors taking ivermectin. Where is your conspiracy theory now? And in fact, the former director of the CDC recently said on Chris Cuomo's show that, yeah, young, healthy people who didn't need the COVID vaccine were harmed. Well, it's nice that he's saying this now, but why didn't he say this all along when it's clear, I think, from the data I've just presented to you, that they should have known that already? So let's let him say it, and then we're going to collectively get pissed off again.
You know, those of us that tried to suggest there may be significant side effects from vaccines, we kind of, like with the rest of your show that you had early on, we kind of got canceled because no one wanted to talk about the potential that there was a problem from the vaccines because they were afraid that that would cause people not to want to get vaccinated. The reality is I was part of Warp Speed. These are important vaccines. We saved a lot of lives. They're important for the most vulnerable people, those over 65 years of age. They really aren't that critical for those of that are under 50 or younger. But those vaccines saved a lot of lives, but they're also, we have to be honest, some people got significant side effects from the vaccine. I have a number of people that are quite ill, and they never had COVID, but they are ill from the vaccine. And we just have to acknowledge that.
All right. Well, it's too late for you to be acknowledging it now. People were hurt. Some people have lifelong adverse events now that they still have to deal with, if they still have a life. Right. If you know what I mean. Now, he says here that vaccines save lives. We've been over this data ad nauseum. The studies that they use to say that the vaccine saved lives is about as reliable as a disposable diaper. It's the fact that fewer people were put on respirators is their main, like, vaccines saved lives. And the fact that we never got to the mathematical modeled death counts that they expected. That's the only proof that they have to say that vaccines saved lives. So I can't let that one go. So my question here, now that I've laid out all of the receipts showing that the medical community knew things that we were not allowed to talk about, and the media lacked curiosity to learn those things, we didn't here on Redacted, we've done our homework, you can't say that they didn't know. The government also lacked curiosity to learn the things that the medical community already knew. So you cannot give them a free pass anymore. These people in power had an opportunity to know better and they chose not to. So the only people I think that can say that you can, oh, they didn't know, are people who got their news from the corporate media and world governments. Those people were lied to on purpose and they didn't know, but that pass is expiring, you guys. If after all this, you still trust the corporate media and the government, it is high time that you knew better.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.